Today she is Masech Derech and Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches on an Aleph at the Mishnah on top of the Amid. We begin now, Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, to learn the Halacha of Chayrim. Not the Halacha of Chayrim that is the usual meaning of the word Chayrim, excommunication, but the Halacha of Charamim, where the Torah Kedosha speaks about two types of Chayrim. One is Chayrim Kohanim, where somebody indicates that he's making different items that he owns, as we will discuss in today's shiur, chayrim, either to be given to the Kohanim, or another form of chayrim is chayrim ebed kabayis, where he's indicating that what he's being machrim should go to Hegdish, which ultimately will sell those items, funds going to the ebed kabayis. So says the Mishnah, Machrim Odom Mitzoynoi Ubkoroi. A person can machrim his animals, Mavodov, Mishivchosov, Haknanim, his Avodim Knanim, his Shivchas Knanim, Umistei Hachuzosoi, or feel that's a stay Achuza, which is the subject that we've learned so much until now. However, Vim Hechrim as Kulam, Enu Mechuramim. If somebody was machrim everything that he owns, then it's not effective, Divir Belezer. And as we're going to see in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, what the Mishnah means to say is not just that if somebody was machrim, everything he owns, that's not an effective chayrim, as the Pesukim teach us, but actually the Pesuk is teaching us even more, that if you're machrim everything of one item that you own, that too is considered an ineffective chayrim. And there's a machloikis rishonim. Our Mishnah speaks about tsoino b'koroi. What is the halacha if you have a few different types of animals? You have sheep and lambs and cows. And you are machrim all your sheep, but you have lambs and cows left. Is that considered you are machrim an entire min, which as Rabbi Lezer just taught us is ineffective? Or since you have other animals left, it would be an effective chayrim. Furthermore, the Rishonim already discuss, is this a halacha limited strictly to chayrim, or is the same halacha that we're learning here going to apply if somebody's mafker all of his assets? If somebody's magdish all of his assets, should the same halacha apply? There are those that say that the same halacha applies by those situations as well. There's those that say that it does not. There's some that differentiate that, as our Mishnah just taught us, that somebody was machrim all of his assets, that even by the Evid, it's an ineffective chayrim, whereas by Kotshim and by Hefker, by the Evid, if you did it, it would be acceptable by the Evid. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and comments Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ma im legvoya ein Adam Rishoy Lahakram Kal Nchasov. If we're learning now that when it comes to giving to Hegdish, one might not give everything he owns. Alach's Kam Vakama. Certainly, She Adam Chasov Nchasov. The Torah is teaching us that we should be careful with our property and treat it with respect and also not give it all away. So, as we just said, our Mishnah focuses on the halacha of not being able to be machrim everything. And the Gemara looks for the source for this halacha, and therefore asks the Gemara Menon immediately, what is the basis for this din? The Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Mikol HaShaloi V'loi Kol HaShaloi, not everything your own. May Adam V'loi Kol Adam, not all of your slaves. May Behem V'loi Kol Behema, not all of your animals. Mistei Achuza, from your Stei Achuza, v'loi kol Stei Achuza, not all of your Stei Achuza. Locha lo yachrim, one would perhaps assume that it should not be done by being machrim everything. However, mehichrim yeh mechromim, it should be the ever acceptable, tamaloimer, ach. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that even by the ever, Divrei Rabbi Elazar, even by the ever, it's not acceptable. Om Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ma'im legevoya, ein adam rishoy lahachrim kol nechosov, to give everything you own, you may not give to Bedek Abayis, as we've been learning. Alach kam v'kam up, she odom chosal nechosov, the person she has to be careful with his assets. And now the Gemara begins to analyze what we've learned in this Braisa, where the Braisa has taught us different sources from different types of assets. And ask the Gemara, why does the Braisa need to do so? V'tzricha, it's necessary to do so. Dikas Rachman Mikol Shaloi, had the Torah just written Mikol Shaloi, Havam Mina, we would perhaps come to the conclusion, call the Islay Lachrim. You're not allowed to give away everything you own to a Chayrim. Avam Min Achot, from one specific type of item that you own, Lichme Kula, you can give it all away as long as you have other assets remaining. Kos Rachmana, that's why the Torah had to specify, May Adam, V'loy Kol Adam. You can't give away even all of your slaves, says the Gemara. V'kos Rachmana Ma'adam, had the Torah only taught us this halacha by slaves, I would assume that by slaves, the Torah is specifically particular. The culture that they lived, it was very difficult to survive without slaves. Aval Sada, when it comes to being machrim your fields, so even though, of course, they lived off the field, they lived off the farm, they lived in agricultural society, but sagile bedistrin, you could always hire sharecroppers. You could always hire yourself out to be a sharecropper through which you'll be able to obtain produce. V'yashmina had the entirety. Had the Torah only spoken about slaves and fields, v'shem hocha d'chiyusa, v'hocha chiyusa, because as we've been explaining, farms and slaves were so essential to their survival. Av metaltlin, when we speak about metaltlin, lichem kula, maybe you're allowed to be machem over your metaltlin. Why? Because it's always easy to get another tool, tzrichi. So the Mefarshim ask, so the Torah should have just taught us the din of metaltlin, and if by metaltlin the halacha is, even though, as we just explained, they're fairly easily obtainable, you're not allowed to be machrim all of your metaltlin, so certainly the halacha will be that you're not allowed to be machrim all of your fields and all of your slaves. So shouldn't it have just been enough that the Torah should teach us the halacha by the metaltlin? Answer the Mefarshim, if we only had one pasuk, we would say that that pasuk is teaching us a halacha on slaves, the halacha on fields, but metaltlin, you can't be machrim, all of you metaltlin. Only because I have this extra pasuk. We have already discussed fields, and we've already discussed slaves, is the pasuk left over to teach us the din on metaltlin. Continues the Gemara, behema lovely, but why does the Torah, again, have to single out the word behema? Answers the Gemara l'chretanya, yochol yachram odom benoi ubitoi, that a person should be allowed to be machrim his son or his daughter, avdoi v'shivchasoi evrim, or his evri yeshivcha, or his amma avriya, v'stei meknosoi, tamaloyim, the Torah says behema. The Torah uses the model of a behema. Ma behema yeshloi rishus l'machroi, an animal that I own, I may sell, av kol sheyeshloi rishus l'machroi. The only item that I'm allowed to be machrim is something that I could sell. Ask the Gemara, v'leibita ketana yeshloi rishus l'machro. You're allowed to sell your daughter who's a ketana. So Mefarshim ask, what was the Gemara's havamina that the Braisa began that one could be able to be machrim his son? Certainly one can't sell a son, and one has no ownership over his son. So why would there be even a havamina that you should be able to be machrim your son? And actually, some Rishonim already say that the Gemara only mentioned, the Braisa only mentioned Benoi because of Bitoi. But there was never really a havamina about Benoi. Another pshat that I saw is, since we remember the Gemara Masechet Ksubis, that the Gemara Masechet Ksubis says that if a child, a son, even a son, if he finds something, a Metzias Benoi belongs to the father. So since the Metzias Benoi belongs to the father, that would perhaps give us reason to believe that the father is allowed to be machrim his son. That's why the Torah had to teach us than that. But now ask the Gemara if we're saying that behemah is the model of what you could be machrim. And what does that mean? Something that you own. So v'leibita ketana yesh le'rishus l'machra. You have a right to sell your daughter to Katana. So why does the Braisa teach us that you're not to be machrim your daughter? Tamalaymer goes the Braisa a step further. Behema. Ma behema yesh la rishus l'machro l'oylam. Av kol yesh rishus l'machro l'oylam. And there are two pshatim in what the Gemara means in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that when you sell an animal, you could sell it forever. When you sell your daughter, even if you don't, you're allowed to sell her. As we know, it can't be for more than 6 years. It can't be when she's past the Nara. It can't be once she's married. So it's a whole different situation. That's one pshat in the Rishonim. Another way of understanding the Rishonim suggests is that a girl has a very limited window when a father can marry her off, only up to the time that she's a Nara. We'll discuss this more later in our Perikim, it's Hashem. Whereas a animal, there's no limitation. You could always sell an animal. And therefore, an animal, which is the model that we're using, teaches us that you can't sell a daughter. But Farshim asks, so if animal is the model, so why is the halacha that you can be machrim esteyachuza? Esteyachuza, as we finished learning extensively, if somebody sells esteyachuza, yovel comes, you get back your esteyachuza. So it isn't something that you could sell forever. So if it's not something that you could sell forever, so then how could you be machrim esteyachuza? So if we learn pshat in the Gemara, like the pshat of the Rishonim, that the animal's model means that you could always sell it. It doesn't mean forever. It means always, so you could always sell a steyachuza. So that's why it wouldn't be a question. But if we learn pshat in the Gemara, that the only type of item that's subject to hilchas cheirim is something that you could sell forever, so akasha comes back, you can't sell a steyachuza as we've been learning extensively in this mesechta, only until yovel, by yovel it comes back. So I saw a number of tirutzim into this question. One teretz is that, yes, you could only sell it up to Yovel, but what happens after Yovel? You could sell it again. So in essence, you could keep on selling it forever. Another teretz that I saw is that the Torah uses the word, when the Torah describes Yovel, Parashas Mishpatim, the Torah uses the word La'olam. So you see that selling till Yovel is indeed considered La'olam. Another pshat, this is a halacha that we really haven't discussed yet, but we're still in this mesechta, is that although we know, as I just said, that if you sell something, esteyachuza, so when Yovel comes back, you get it back. When Yovel comes, you get it back. However, the halacha is, that that's only if you didn't sell it for a specific term. But let's say you sold it for 60 years, so there's more than 50 years and 60 years, then Yovel wouldn't void the sale. So since there are situations where the sale is not voided by Yovel, actually there's another situation when you're Magdish, as we've been learning, then you don't necessarily get it back by the Yovel year. So the halacha that it comes back in Yovel is not a hard and fast rule, unlike a daughter, which we explained can never be passed Naris. That's why you could be Machrim Esteyachuza. The Mishnah and the Braisa said, Arab Lazar, the husband Azari made the following comment. If the Torah tells us that when we're being machrim, we have to be careful not to be machrim everything, certainly when it comes to other people, we have to be careful. So ask them, well, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying different than the Tanakama? How the Tanakama? Isn't that the exact same as the Tanakama? Answers the Gemara, Ikabanaid Rab Illa. The Nafkamin is what Rab Illa taught us. Amr Rab Illa, Busha Skinu, there was a rule enacted in Usha, Hamiz Bazbiz Ayu Bazbiz Yoysi Mechaymish. You can't give away more than 20%. So the second man, the first man, says you have to treat your assets with respect. The second man, the Omer, takes it even a step further. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah takes it even a step further. He's saying what they said in Usha. Usha was so much later. So the Mefarshim asks, what's he saying, what happened in Usha when he was before Usha? So the Yerushalmi explains that actually this rule, and we'll speak about this more in a moment, that you're not supposed to give away more than 20%, was already a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. It was forgotten, and it was only resurrected in Usha. And Taka says the Gemara, Ma'is bechet shabikish l'baz b'zeyotz m'chaymish. There was somebody who wanted to give away more than 20%. V'loi hinich lo chaverev, his colleagues did not allow him to do so. Umanu, who were those colleagues? Rabbi Shevav. Bamalei, another version of this, Rabbi Yesheva wanted to give away all of his assets. V'lo nichlei chaver and his colleagues did not allow him to do so. Who were his colleagues who did not allow it? Man Rabbi Kiva. So we begin now to discuss for a moment this halacha mabaz b'zayi baz b'zayis mechaymish. First of all, the Mefarshim ask, so how are we learning you're not allowed to give away everything? We're learning it from Chayrim. But we have a rule, Daya Lava Menadin Liyas Kenidin. If we're learning Kavachaymer, we can't use the Kavachaymer for more than what it teaches us. So by Chayrim, we just finished learning the Sugi, you can't give everything away. So where does the number 20% come? It should be you can't give everything away to Tzedakah, but not 20, but more than 20, but perhaps you could give more than 20%. So that I saw a number of turrets. The first turret goes back to what I said a moment ago, that there was original takana was 20%. Halacha l'mashmash m'Sinai. And this was just reminded. So it's halacha l'mashmash m'Sinai. We don't have these questions. Another pshat is that even though there's a rule when we speak about kavachomers of da'i lovim and adin li'is kanidain, that rule is only applied if the kavachomer will remain. But if by applying the concept of da'i lovim and adin li'is kanidain, the entire kavachomer collapses, then we don't apply that concept. So Rashi says, how do we know the number 20%? So Rashi says we learn it from Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu told Hashem, Im Shirani B'darach Hazeh, Shanecha Ha'olich, V'nasim Lachem Lech, Olo Be'agilil Boish, Asa Asana Lach. I'll give you double ma'isa. What's double ma'isa? 2 times 10 is 20%. And in fact, I saw Shlomo Kluger says that we find this concept already by Yosef. He said, Yosef gave Chamishasa 20% leparoi. So you see, there was a concept of tithing, of separating 20%. The Yerushalmi says, how do we calculate 20%? The Yerushalmi says that the first year, you calculate even on your principal, 20% of everything, and if afterwards, you calculate 20% of profit. The Mefarshim go on to discuss, the Hapoiskim go on to discuss, here we're saying there's a 20% limit. So the Chochmas Adam says that this 20% limit is only by an average individual, but by a wealthy individual who is able to easily give away more than 20% and still have more than enough to live on, the 20% rule doesn't apply. The Chofetz Chaim, in his Sefer Ahavas Chesed, based on a Shita Mukubetzis, says that this halacha only applies when it comes to giving tzedakah to poor individuals. But when it comes to hachzakas ha-Torah, when it comes to support Torah learning, then there's no 20% limit. And the Chofetz Chaim's explanation is that when I give tzedakah to a poor person, so I'm fulfilling the obligation to give tzedakah. So my obligation is limited to 20%, if I'm of average means. Well, when it comes to giving tzedakah for chzakas ha-Torah, says the Chofetz Chaim, there it's a whole different situation. There the situation, says the Chofetz Chaim, is I become a partner in your learning. If I support Torah learning, then I become a partner. A partner could give more than 20%. In fact, I saw a very nice fart from Rabbi Avadi Yosef Shlita. It says in Pirkei Avos, Marv tzedakah, marv shalom. So he explains as follows. We know that Talmid HaChachamim are marbim sholem ba'olam. Marb tzedakah, marb sholem. You know when you're allowed to give more tzedakah than the 20%? Marb sholem. When you're giving to people who are considered the sholem people in the world, the Talmid HaChachamim. The Paiskim also say that if there's a situation of bikuach nefesh, then there's no 20% limit. There's a famous letter written by the Balatanya who says that if someone is giving tzedakah because he did an aveira and he's giving the tzedakah because that will chato echo the tzedakah proik, that will bring him kapara, again, then there's no 20% limit. I saw actually two very nice rayas to the concept of the Balatanya. One raya is from Krishma. You say Krishma every day, 3 times a day. So in the first parasha, the Krishma, it says, B'chol avavchum, b'chol nafshchum, b'chol moidechum. In the second parasha, it says, B'chol avavchum, b'chol nafshchum, it doesn't say, B'chol moidechum. And we know the definition of B'chol moidechum means with all of your money. So the first parasha which speaks about Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. So we speak about Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim B'chol Moedcha. You have to give everything away to reach Omach HaShemayim, to reach Yerushamayim. The second parasha, which is oil mitzvahs, so there's a limit. You don't have to send more than 20% for mitzvahs. Another raya. Because what did Yaakov Avinu say, which we said a moment ago, is the whole basis of this 20% rule. Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Nasmei lechem lecho, lebega libesh, v'shimani b'derech hazeh shenoicha hoylich. If I will act appropriately, then asa asren, I'm only obligated to give 20%. Because I'm going b'shirani b'derech hazeh. I'm going on the proper path. If, however, I'm not on the proper path, then I have to give more. Like the Baal Tanya said." There's a beautiful word from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says, the Gemara says, I'm a Vazbis. Are you Vazbis Yosef Mechaymish? What does the Gemara mean to say? If giving tzedakah, if your attitude to giving tzedakah is that tzedakah is bizbus, so to speak, you're wasting your money, so then the Torah doesn't want you to give more than 20%. But if you have a healthy attitude towards giving tzedakah, and your attitude to tzedakah is not a bizbus, not a waste, it's the best investment, then you can give more than 20%. Furthermore, I saw the Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says here, Be'ushaskinu, that this rule of 20% was instituted in Usha. Why specifically Usha? So the Yaris Tavash has a very nice pshat. The Yaris Tavash says that we know that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Sanhedrin started, was in Golos. And one of the first stops was Usha. So he says a beautiful pshat. He says that until the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, as long as the Beis Hamikdash was standing, Klai Yisrael had a tremendous feeling of closeness to Hashem. And there was a gewaldige Hashgacha protest, there was a gewaldige connection to Hashem. And therefore people realized that everything we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since they realized that everything we have comes from Hashem, they didn't feel a problem with giving everything away to tzedakah, because I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. Only in Usha, which represented the Golus, represented the Churban, and that relationship wasn't what it used to be, that Chazal say people don't have this feeling, there's a 20% cap. But then I saw a beautiful vart from the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav said this at his Rosh, at a speech, after the Holocaust. And he said like this, and he spoke to people, and he said, for the people who perished in the Holocaust, there is no need to do anything for their neshamas. These are Jews that died al-Kiddush Hashem. And Jews who died al-Kiddush Hashem, their neshamas don't need our help. Their neshamas are tachas kisei kavod. They're very, very close to Hashem. What is our obligation? He says, our obligation is to rebuild the Torah that was destroyed, that was lost, that all of the centers of Torah and learning and davening and of Yiddishkeit were destroyed in the war. And we need to rebuild that, we need to rebuild Yiddishkeit. He said, but Usha was the same situation. As I said a moment ago, Usha represented a time right after the Churban. And after the Churban, Chazal sat down together and said, we need to try to rebuild Torah. And everybody wanted to participate. And everybody wanted to contribute. And Chazal were concerned that people will get so caught up in the need for rebuilding Torah that they'll give everything away. But they can't afford to give everything away. So Chazal said, Be'usha, we know it's times of rebuilding, but give only 20%. Halavai said the Panovich Rav, we should have that feeling of our obligation and responsibility of rebuilding Torah, that we should want to give more than 20%, but we should remember the Gemara that says, don't do more. Says the Mishnah, if somebody gives as a cheirim his children, his eved v'shivcha hivrim that we just discussed, the same miknasoi or his stay mikna, which as we learned previously in our parak, or maybe in the previous parak, our ownership on these assets, certainly stay mikna is a limited ownership, and we don't have that ability to be machrim them. For says the Mishnah, the halacha is, she'ein adam machrim davash en ishalai. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Hakahanim Levim Enim Achrim, the Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Kahanim Levim are excluded from making a cherem. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon has says, Hakahanim Eim Achrimim, Shechram Shalahem. Because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, there's a big machloikus of Stam Cherem goes to the Kohen, or Stam Cherem goes to Bedek Abayis. Obviously, our Mishnah seems to be following the opinion that Stam Cherem goes to the Kohen. And therefore, if I'm being machrim something, and it's going to go to the Kohen, if the Kohen's being machrim something, it's ready by him. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Torah is very specific in the procedure that should take place of a Cherem. What does that mean? First, you to Yisrael a machrim, and then you transfer it to the Kohen, and it becomes the Kohen's. But if you're not going to follow that exact procedure, that isn't what Cherem is all about. Levim Achrimim, but according to Rav Shimon's opinion, Levim, who aren't the people that receive the Cherem, have the right, Levim Achrimim, because she'en Achrim Shalahem, they don't get the Cherem anyway. Says the Mishnah, Amar Rebbe, Nirin de Rav Yehuda B'Kakos, Rav Yehuda's opinion seems to be right when we speak about Karka, because the Torah says, regarding the Karka, the property that belongs to the Kohanim Levim, Kiachuzas Olam Hilahem, it's theirs, not to be given away. The Divrei Reb Shimon Metaflin, when we speak about Metaflin, I agree with Reb Shimon, Shenachram Shemahem. Ask the Gemara, Reb Yehuda, let's understand Reb Yehuda's opinion. Bishlom Kohanim Machrimim, why Reb Yehuda would hold that a Kohen shouldn't be able to make a Cherem? So we explained, Shechram Shemahem, they get it anyway, so what's the whole point? Leviim, when we speak about Leviim, Bishlam Mekarkeloi Machrami, their inability to be Machram property is as the Mishnah quoted the Pasuk, the Ksiv Keachuzas Olam Hilahem, and therefore they can't be Machramit. Ela Metaplin Lachrami, why should they not be allowed to be Machram de Metaplin? Answers the Gemara, Mekolash Omakro Mekolash Loi Mesteachuzo, Makish Metaplin Kakos. And if the Leviim, as the Gemara just explained, do not have the ability to be machrim karka, and the Torah is makish metaplin to karka, therefore the halacha will be so as far as metaplin as well. Rav Shimon, now let's understand Rav Shimon's opinion. Bishlama, kohanim kramarim. The kohanim, we understand because they can't go through the procedure. Levim, but let's understand the Levim. When we speak about the Levim, bishlam metaplin, Lachrim, the Taplin, we understand why Rav Shimon holds they have the ability to be Machrim, to lay Makish, because he doesn't hold of the Schekish. Ela Makarki, but why does Rav Shimon hold that Levim have the ability to be Machrim Karka, Haksiv, Achuzas Oilim Hilahem, what's he going to do with that Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, my Machrim Nami, the Kama, when Rav Shimon says Levim have the ability to be Machrim, it means only Metaplin. Ask the Gemara, how could you interpret that that is the opinion of Rav Shimon? But let's learn the last words of our Mishnah. From the Tani Sefer, what did it say at the end of the Mishnah? I'm a Rebbe, Nirin de Rav Yehuda Mekarki. I agree with Rav Yehuda when we speak about Karka, the Dimri Rav Shimon Metatli. And I agree with Rav Shimon Metatli. So it seems that Mechlal, Rebbe's choosing. And he's saying, it seems that Rav Shimon says his opinion both by Karka and Metatli. Rabbi Yehuda says his opinion both by Karka and Metatlin. And now I'm choosing and picking. I agree with Rabbi Yehuda by Makarka, and I agree with Rabbi Shimon Metatlin. Mechlal, but Rabbi Shimon for himself, Mechal Kinami Kamer, that Levim can be Machar Metatlin. But why? Doesn't the Torah say, Kachuzis Oilam Hilahem? Answers the Gemara, that's not Peshat in the Mishnah. Hachi Kamer, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. I'm a Rebbe, Nirin de Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Kakos. Rebbe says that even Rav Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yehuda when we speak about Karka. Sha'af Rav Shimon lo nechla lov el metatlin. The machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to metatlin, as we said and will say, because their machlokes is there a hekesh between metatlin and Karka? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Or is there not a hekesh? Rav Shimon's opinion. But when we speak about Karka, Maidalei, everybody agrees, even Rav Shimon, that not Kohanim, not Levim, have the ability to be Machem Karka, because the Torah Akdoshah says, Kechuzas Oilam Hilohem. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Amar Chibar Avin, Hechra Metatlin, if somebody was Makam Metatlin, nois l'kol koin sheyirtza. He could give it to any koin he so chooses. Shenema, kol chayim b'Yisrael, l'cha yiyya. Continues the Gemara, hechrim sedaisov, if somebody was Makar of his fields, nois l'kol sheyirtza mishma. We know that the Torah teaches us that there were 24 mishmeres. Every week there was a different mishmer of Kahanim who did the Avoida. Those mishmerim were actually further divided into Batei Av, doing the Avoida every day of the week. The halacha is that system is followed. Besides, when a Kohen brings his own carbon, so if I'm a Kohen bringing my own carbon, even though it's not my mishmer doing the Avoida today, I could do the Avoida. Or by Yom Tovim, they didn't have these halachas for the extra kabbanis. So now Rav Chiya bar Avin is telling us that when it comes to the chayim of property, it's given to the kohen of that mishma. Shenema, k'stei chayim l'koyin tiyach uzasa. That's the wording the Torah uses when it speaks about chayim of property. And then he says, v'gama l'koyin l'koyin gezla ger. There's a din of gezla ger, which means as follows. The Torah of Dasha tells us that if somebody steals from someone else, and the victim confronts the perpetrator, and he swears falsely that he did not steal, and then he confesses, the Torah says that that perpetrator, that gazlan, has to bring an Hashem Gzeilus, and he also has to bring, he has to give a Terem V'Chaymish to the person that he lied to, who he stole from. But the Torah uses the word Lashem L'Koyim to teach us that, as we'll see in a second, that in certain circumstances it goes to the Koyim. What are those circumstances? Where the victim was a ger. Because every born Jew has a relative. A father, a son, a brother, an uncle, a cousin. A ger shenis gaki katan shenai l'dami. So ger indeed can end up with no relatives. So if somebody did this act with a ger, where he lied to the ger and now confessed, but the ger is no longer alive. So he gives it to the kohen. So the Torah uses the words Lashem l'kohen, Kana Hashem. The pasuk is teaching us that this goes to Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the nice l'kohen shebayis the mishmer, that he gives it to the kohen that's serving that mishmer. At the Omer, continues the Gemara, l'kohen shebayis the mishmer, is the gezel hager given to the kohen of that mishmer, ayenel l'kol kohen sheyirtza, to any kohen? K'shoim, when the pasuk says, melvat eilek apurim ashechap alav, we compare it to the carbon asham, and who brings the carbon asham? The kahanim are doing that void of that mishmer, So the Chazon Ish says as follows. When we speak about Gezel Hager, and the halacha when we speak about Gezel Hager is, like I said a moment ago, that you have to bring in a Sham Gezelis, and you have to give a Keren V'Chaymish. So the Sham Gezelis that's brought is not just brought by the Mishma that's working that week, but as I said a few moments ago, it's brought by the base Av, who's doing the Avoida on the day that the Hashem Gzeilus is brought. Whereas when we speak about the money, the Keren V'Chaymish, that's divided amongst the entire Mishmer who's working that week. Now the question that the Mepharshim discuss is that we're saying that the Cherem Esoda, the Cherem of Field, go to the Koyanim of the Mishmer of that week. Which week? Is it the week where the cherem was taken, or is it the week when the cherem is given? So many mefarshim say, since the Gemara is comparing this to Gezel Ager, and by Gezel Ager was saying it's dependent when the cherem is actually given, when the Gezel Ager is actually given, so too will be the halacha by cherem. It's not when the cherem was, when you became obligated in the cherem, it's when the cherem is actually delivered. There are those that say that by cherem, since it depends on your obligating yourself in a cherem. As soon as you obligate yourself, you become obligated and to that mishmer, even though you don't actually deliver it till later. Continues the Gemara. We've learned extensively in our Masechta that if somebody is magdish a steyachuza and he doesn't redeem it, so when Yovel comes, that field goes to the Kahanim. Says the Gemara, Soda yotzel Kahanim b'Yovel. Again, the mishmer that is in effect when Yovel comes into place. But ask the Gemara, As we'll see, Yovel is either on Yom Kippur or Yovel begins either on Rosh Hashanah. But whatever we'll say, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur could be on Shabbos. And we know that the way it worked with the Mishmaris was that Shabbos morning, the old Mishmar, last week's Mishmar, still the Avodah, and next, on Shabbos afternoon, the new Mishmar began. So if Yovel, if Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, whichever date, is on Shabbos, which is the Mishmar that gets those fields? Mai. Amar Chibar Ami, Mishmei Dechulfana, Naisnal Mishmar Hayotzi. We give it to the last week's Mishmar. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Tanya Nami Hochi, Nimtzis Ata Oimer, because the Halacha is, Yovel, Echad Yovel Ve'echad Shvius, Mishamtim Ke'echad. Yovel and Shvius come at the exact same moment. Just Elosh Yovel B'tchilasa. Yovel begins at the beginning of the Yovel year. V'shmita b'soifa. Says the Gemara, Adrabba. The word Elo doesn't make sense. At Mishem Hachi Havoy. It shouldn't say Elo. Eimah b'nei she Yovel. They come at the exact same moment. So as Rashi explains, since Shmita, and I'll speak about this more in a moment, begins at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, as does Yovel, so it's obvious, and the night of Rosh Hashanah is still with the old Mishmer's watch, so it goes to the old Mishmer. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, that we just said that Shvius is besoifer at the end of the year, Tiksiv, Mikay Shevashanim, Tasa Shmita. It comes at the end of the year. El Yovel betchilasai, is Yovel at the beginning of the year? Isn't the halacha asked the Gemara, B'yom Kippurim, that Yovel begins on Yom Kippur, the Ksiv, B'yom HaKippurim, Taviru Shoifa Ba'achol Artzachem, answers the Gemara, Ha'mani, B'vishmal B'noishar B'yachma B'rekihi. Dama, M'Rosh Hashanah Hu D'chayav B'yovel, that actually Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah, Shema, Chizki Ba'blute, V'azal Amar Kamed Ravua. Then he asked them, if we're saying that Karka is given to the Kahanim of that Mishmar, so based on the Gemara we learned on Amud Aleph, V'leikish metatla karka. So why don't we say the metatlan, treat it like karka. And the halach ought to be, therefore, that the chermim of metatlan shouldn't just be given to any kohen. It could be given only to the kohanim of that mishmar. Answers the Gemara, as we learned on Amud Aleph. Lav tanayhu, have we not discussed on Amud Aleph, dika de makish, dika de loy makish, the machloks tanoim, machloks of Yehudim Shimon, if we're makish karka to metatlan, command armor, according to the opinion, loy makshinon, so the halacha will be that, yes, karka, cherme karka are given to the mishmar, cherme metatlan, which are not compared to cherme karka, can be given to any kind. So we need to stop here for a minute, because otherwise we can make a big mistake. The Gemara here said that Shemitah is at the end of the year. We know that that isn't true. Shemitah is at the beginning of the year. When the Shemitah year begins, that's when the halacha is, you're not allowed to work on the field. So what does the Gemara mean that Shemitah is at the end of the year? So all the Rishonim explain. We know that there are really two elements to Shemitah. One is the one that we just discussed, that you're not allowed to work the field during the Shemitah year. And that indeed begins at the beginning, or even a little before the beginning of the Shemitah year. And then there's another halacha, Shemitah's Ksafim, that all loans become cancelled in the Shemitah year. Actually, that rule even applies to Jews and Chutz La'aretz. But there's a very big machloikis with very serious ramifications. How do we understand this halacha that we're learning now, that Shemitah cancels the loans at the end of the Shemitah year? The Rambam learns the Gemara Pasha Pshat. Shemitah's Ksafim, the cancellation of loans is at the end of the year. And therefore, since we know that Hillel came up with a method how to avoid the problem, writing a prosbul. So when should the prosbul be written? At the end of the Shemitah year. And then you'll be fine. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that Shemitah Ksafim is also at the beginning of the Shemitah year. We just learned the Gemara, and that's the end of the year. So the Rosh says the Pshat and the Gemara here is differently. The halacha is that if I owe you money, and the Shemitah year passed, and I didn't write a prosbul, so when I come to pay you, if I owe you money, you're supposed to say Mishamata me. I'm not allowed to take the money. Says the Rosh, that halacha, that you, the Malva, are supposed to say Mishamata me, only begins after the Shemitah year. So if I and my own will come to pay you, you could take it. But certainly if I don't come to pay it, the loan is canceled. So according to the Rosh, you should write, and the Baal HaTanya and the Chasam Sofer, or Machmer for this Rosh, you should write the Prozbul not at the end of the Shemitah year, you should write the Prozbul at the beginning of the Shemitah year. But then, there's a very interesting Machloikis Achroinim, the Bach and the Ratvaz, versus the Karban HaSanal and the Urim V'Tumim. If according to the Rosh, I wrote a Prozbul at the beginning of the Shemitah year, as we just explained, but during the year, you lent me money again, should you write another Prozbul for those loans? The Bach and the Ratvaz says absolutely. Otherwise, the Prozbul that you wrote at the beginning of the year won't help for those loans. The Karban HaSanal and the Urim V'Tumim disagree. Because they say it can't be that a loan that was generated during the Shemitah year should have any obligation to pay back. So even if you write a Prozbul at the end of the Shemitah year, according to the Rosh, it wouldn't help you. Because according to the Rosh, they say all that our Gemara teaches us here is that you need, that you, the Malva, need not say the words Meshamatani. But the loan is cancelled, and therefore a loan that was made in the Shemitah year, Prozbul at the end of the year of that Shemitah year, according to the Rosh, would be helpless. Says the Mishnah. Cher mikahanim ein lam pidyon. When we speak about the cher mikahanim, they cannot be redeemed. Elam nais l'kayin k'truma. They're given to the kayin like you give truma to the kayin. Now, the Mishnah begins with a question that we've discussed. When somebody just says cherim, what does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, when you don't specify what you meant with a cherim, it goes to Bedek Abayis. Shenemar kol cherim kodesh kadoshim hu l'Hashem. V'chomam however hold, stam charam l'kahanim. Shenemar kisteya cherim l'koyin tiyah achuzasoy. Stam cherim goes to the koyin. Ask the Mishnah itself, what will the Rabbanan do with the Pasuk of Yehuda ben Seira? Im kei loma nemar kol cherim kodesh kadoshim l'Hashem. Say the Chacham, that pasuk comes to teach us, Shechal, Akotchi Kotchim, Akotchim Kalim. You could even be Machrim, an animal that you designated as a carbon, whether you designated the animal as a carbon, Kotchi Kotchim, or Lechatus Osham, or Kotchim Kalim. And the Mishnah explained itself. But we need to say one word of a Hagdoma, a rule that we said here many times. There are two ways of being obligated with a carbon, a Neder and a Dova. Not as you say Harei Olai, it becomes a personal obligation. And the Dov is where you say Harei Zu, this specific animal. So says the Mishnah, Machrev Adam es Kachav, Bein Kachav Kachim, Bein Kachim Kalim, Im Neder, so if I obligated myself with a Neder, so I now have a personal obligation, and if something were to happen to that animal, I have the obligation to replace it. So when you're saying that you're being Machrem that animal, you have to give the full value. Nois in the main. Then the dova, but if it's in the dova, nois in as tevosan. What is the definition of nois in as tevosan? The definition of nois in as tevosan is, says the Mishnah, shar zeh oila, where I said this animal should be brought as a carbon oila. Oimdim kam odam ritzin loitim shar zeh la lois oila. How much would you pay me that you want to bring a carbon oiler, and I have an animal that's already designated to be the oiler, that you should take that animal. Even though you're not obligated with a carbon oiler, but what would you be willing to pay to use this animal? Obviously, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. I said earlier in the shir, that you don't have a choice which kayin should do the avoida. There's Mishmairis, the Bati Av. How much would I be willing to take to wait to bring this animal as a carbon when your grandson, the Kayan, is doing the Avaida? That's the value of the Toivus Hanam. HaBachar, but when we speak about Bachar, which has that Kedusha, no matter what, because as soon as it's born as a Bachar, it's a Bachar. Bein Tam Bein Machrim Naisai. The Kates of Paid Naisai. What is the Toivus Hanam there? Oindem Kama Adam Ritzin Latim Bachar Zer. How much somebody would be willing to pay little ben bitel ben chaysoy? The loch is that I could choose which coin to give the bechor. So if you have a grandson from your daughter who's a bechor, who's a coin, so you may be willing to give me some money to choose your grandson. That's the toivus hanor that I'm machrim when I say that the Bechor is a Chayrim. Why does the Mishnah specifically use the example where it's a grandson or a nephew from your sister or from your daughter? Why can't it be a grandson from your son? Because the halacha we learned is that there's a din of Kayin is not allowed to be Messiah based on Gronis. A Kayin can't in any way seem to show that he's paying to get Matnas Kuna. So if your grandson from your son is a Kayin, then you're a Kayin. If you're a Kayin, you can't pay for it. So it has to be a situation where you have a grandson of Kayin, but you are a Yisrael. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that the Mishnah doesn't speak about a Karban Shlamim. Why doesn't it speak about a Karban Shlamim? Because a Karban Shlamim is considered Mum and Balim. And therefore, since it's considered Mum and Balim, if you're Machma Karban Shlamim, you have to give the full value of that animal. You can't give the animal. The animal you have to bring a Karban Shlamim, but you have to give its full value for your Chayrim obligation.